I run to Christ, or rather, I run, yes, to Christ. That is what we should do. That is to run to Christ in order that our lives might be transformed. Glorious transformation. And this is the topic for our meditation this morning as we consider 2 Corinthians chapter 3 from verses 1 to 18. Have you ever seen an ugly caterpillar? An ugly caterpillar being transformed into a beautiful, colorful butterfly. Yes, this is the image I want us to have in our minds as we think of glorious transformation. Transform into something beautiful. Something beautiful. The two key verses that unlock this passage that is in 1 Corinthians chapter 3 is in verses 17 and 18, where here says that the Lord is that Spirit. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty, there is freedom. But we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass or a mirror, the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. And in the ESV version, the English Standard Version, it is translated in this way: and we all, with unveiled face, behold the glory of the Lord, are being, the word translated here, are being transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to another. For this comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. Yes, change from one degree of glory to another. I remember studying together with a group of seniors, a book written by Jerry Bridges, and the book entitled The Discipline of Grace. And particularly in the chapter, that is chapter 6, Jerry Bridges discusses the topic on sanctification or being transformed into the likeness of Christ. And Jerry Bridges speaks about the goal of the Christian life, the goal of the Christian life. And he highlighted this same verse that we have memorized, that is 2 Corinthians 3, verse 18, that we are being transformed into Christ's likeness. And he also makes mention of Romans 8, 28, and states that God says that we are predestinated, that all believers are predestinated by God to be conform to the likeness of his son. And Jerry Bridges says that Christ's likeness is the Christian's goal for all who trust in Jesus. And that should be our goal as believers in Christ. Yes, my dear friends, what is your goal in life? What is your goal in life? Perhaps you are familiar with the so-called 5 C's, but I'm sure you are also familiar with the 5 P's. What are the 5 P's? Possessions, popularity, being powerful, pleasures, performance, and one more P, plenty of good food. I trust that our goal in life is not just about possession or being popular, or just seeking for pleasures, or having plenty of good food, but that our goal in life is to be more like Jesus, to be more like Christ. And in the Greek language, both words, that is transform and conform, have the same root form, meaning that of a pattern, that of a mold. So being transformed refers to the process that will take place. And conform refers to the finished product. Jesus is our pattern. Jesus, he is our mold. Just think of the mold, making mooncake. And if you have a mold with all the different designs, and so when you make a mooncake, what you want to see is of the same design. So just remember the word mold. We are being transformed so that we will be eventually conformed to the likeness of Jesus. The term sanctification, I hope it's not new to you. It is taught in the scriptures, and it is described very clearly in the Westminster Confession of Faith, what sanctification is all about, what holiness is all about. To put it simply, sanctification simply means conformity to the likeness of Jesus Christ. Is there anyone here who says, I want to be more holy? I want to be more like Jesus Christ. Yes, I'm sure there are amongst our midst. In fact, as a Christian, that is what we must always constantly aim to be more like our Lord Jesus Christ. To be a follower of Christ means we are to follow the steps of Christ, to follow his example, to follow his teachings, indeed, to follow his pattern of life. And we know that some people who are willing to even give up fame and fortune to live a humble life as a monk and perhaps even as a nun in order to be holy. Now, stop for a moment. Is this the kind of life that we should live? According to their thinking, their concept of what it means to be like Christ, what do you think? Will we be more holy just because we live like a monk or a nun, living in a monastery or a nunnery? What is your answer? I'll give you my answer. My answer is no. Nowhere in the Bible we are commanded to live as a monk or a nun. And in fact, history and present-day sex scandal will tell you about what is happening in the monastery, in that it does not mean that you are holier living a secluded lifestyle. So what is the answer? What is the answer? How to live in the likeness of Christ? It is not easy for me to explain 2 Corinthians chapter 3 in just 35 minutes. But I believe the best summary I could think of is what the Apostle Paul says in Philippians 3:8. Paul says, indeed, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ, Jesus, my Lord. Remember, Paul was indeed a religious man, and he knew the Old Testament scriptures through and through. In other words, he was a scholar. He was a scholar of the Old Testament scriptures. And yet, he was able to say, I count everything lost. Everything. All those religious studies, all those religious knowledge that he has gained, lost because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. And then he continues, for his sake, the Apostle Paul says, I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish or dung in order that I may gain Christ. That is in order that I may follow Christ and to be like Christ. We who believe in Jesus as our Lord and Savior are in a daily process of being transformed in our old way of life into a new way of life, like that of a caterpillar, transformation into a butterfly. The end goal of that process is that we will be completely conformed to the image of God's Son. The Apostle Paul says, for we know that all things work together for good to those who love God and to those who are the called according to his purpose. We like to quote Romans 8:28, but don't forget Romans 8:29. That is, for whom he foreknew, he also predestinated to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. So what the Apostle Paul is telling us in 2 Corinthians 3:18 is that we should fix our gaze upon the indwelling Christ. And the more the Holy Spirit, and that is when the Holy Spirit will continue to transform us into Christ's image. You see, Paul was writing to the church in this city of Corinth about the differences, what the Bible calls the old covenant and the new covenant. And I'm sure you have a Bible right with you. We have an Old Testament scripture and the New Testament scripture. And the covenant was basically an agreement that God made with his people. And in the Old Covenant, the agreement God made with the Jewish people was that his blessings would be with them. That was the promise. But there is a condition. The condition is that they must keep the law. And he gave them through Moses. The moral laws and all the instruction God gave to Moses. But now, how about the new covenant? The new covenant of God's redemptive plan. God established a new covenant. The old covenant was mediated through Moses. But the new covenant is mediated through our Lord Jesus Christ, God's own Son. The old covenant was never meant to be permanent. It was never meant to be permanent. And this is because the people could not keep true to God's holy standard in the law, even though they may be deceived, like the Apostle Paul. He deceived into thinking that he was able to keep to the righteousness of the moral laws. Remember, after his conversion, how the Apostle Paul clearly declared, even to the church at Rome, Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So the new covenant succeeds because God now graciously put his law into the hearts of all his people who believe in Jesus. And not only that, he places also the Holy Spirit in them, in that we have been filled with the Spirit, For without the help of the Spirit, we will not be able to be transformed. So the Holy Spirit empowers His redeemed people, all those who put their trust in Jesus. And the Holy Spirit will indeed help us to live as true covenant people, that is, to be more like Jesus Christ. In 2 Corinthians 3, 7 and 8, Paul was talking about this great difference of the old covenant and that of the new covenant. And Paul is making reference here in the Old Testament event that happened. Paul knew the scriptures, and he was able to make that comparison and to make it very clear to the church at Corinth. And he's also seeking to make it clear to us. So it was a story about Exodus in Exodus 34, where we read about Moses who went up to the mountain and he met God on behalf of the Jewish people. And he was at the mountain to receive God's instructions and to receive the God's commandments, the moral laws. The fact is that in the old covenant, that is the covenant of the law, as mentioned here, it was glorious. Remember, Moses' face shone because of the holy presence of God. But why did Moses later cover up his face with a veil? It was because of the fact that the glory upon his face from this old covenant meetings with God, faded. Now, take note of this symbol. It was symbolic in nature of the old covenant. Yes, it had glory. The face of Moses was shining, and the people could see it. They were able to describe it. But it was fading glory. And this is because it was a covenant that could not be kept. The people sinned and thus continually failed to uphold that covenant. However, the glory of the new covenant, importantly, as described here, it is through Jesus Christ. And it is indeed a greater and a more eternal glory of eternal glory. And God has promised this new covenant to His people that is in the Old Testament so that they will know the difference. I hope that you'll be able to see the difference, the Old Covenant and the New Covenant, the Old Testament and the New Testament. The Old Covenant demanded that people conform to the law that they could not keep. Are we able to keep to the laws that were given by God? The answer is no, we can't. It had a fading glory because it's resulted in failure and condemnation to death. But the new covenant is all about changing people from the inside out, putting God's law in them, in us who believe in Christ. And the new covenant is about enabling all of us in keeping the law from the heart. It has a greater and unfading glory because its results is in transformation and eternal life. But more importantly, Jesus. Remember, Jesus Himself, He is the mediator. And Jesus Himself was on the cross and He paid for our sins and He takes residence in us, all of us who put our trust in Him. So the simple question I'd like to ask you, my dear friends, is this. Is Jesus in your heart. Is Jesus in your life? Is Jesus the master of your life? My dear brothers and sisters in Christ, God has graciously placed us under this administration of the new covenant. It is a glorious agreement, one that results in life. It has transformation that is from the inside out, and it is completed in us by the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. God's holy law are perfectly filled by Jesus. Jesus kept the law, and he perfected in us in an ongoing progressive way by the Spirit, so that we will be in conformity to the image of Jesus. So, we as God's chosen people, we have a part to play in the new covenant. What must we do? Are we trying our best to keep the law? Are you? Are you trying your best to keep the law? And that is exactly what Paul did as a Pharisee. You know something? He could boast about being a righteous person. Remember, that was before his conversion. He was able to boast of being a righteous person. What was he doing? Yes, his focus was on God's law. But yet, at the same time, his focus was on himself, his ability to keep the law according to his standard, but not according to God's standard. So what it means is this: he was deceiving himself for many, many years as a religious leader, as a Pharisee, until when Christ struck him down and met with him. However, as I mentioned, after his encounter with Jesus, he was totally changed. He says, remember what he says? His righteousness is but filthy rags. And after his conversion, his eyes were open. His eyes were on Jesus, not on the laws, but on Jesus. He saw his failure. He saw his own sins. He says, I am the chief of all sinners. And if the Apostle Paul says that he is the chief of all sinners, we have nowhere to hide. He has nothing to boast after his conversion, but only in Christ. And that was his experience on his way to Damascus. Yes, my dear friends, we must keep our eyes focused on Jesus. That is, we must run to Jesus. We must never think that to be a Christian is just simply to pray a prayer to receive Jesus Christ as Savior and do nothing more. After that, we can carry on with our life in our own power and ignoring Jesus. All of us want to live a comfortable life. Do you? I want. All of us want to live a good life. A life without Christ, even though we may call ourselves Christians. And we are not living daily in dependence upon this relationship that we have with him. Remember again that Christianity is not a religion. It is not just merely following a set of rules and regulations. Cannot do this, cannot do that. No, it is a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And just because you are a member of the church, it does not make you a Christian. It does not make you a follower of Jesus Christ just because you have been baptized in the church. But the question we have to ask constantly is this: Who are you following every day? And my friends, if Jesus is indeed your Savior and Redeemer, it means this: our focus of attention should be Christ alone. He must be the primary love of our hearts, and we must continue to fix our spiritual gaze upon Christ, the indwelling Christ that is in us. And this is the way that we should go, so that the more we fix upon Christ, the more the Holy Spirit will transform us into Christ's own image. That is the key part in this glorious new covenant. I just want to share with us four brief points so that we can remember. Very brief. Just remember PAP. I'm sure you remember PAP. But don't think of PAP as in PAP. But think of PAP as in provision, action, and process. And one more is that of our goal. First, notice the provision. Paul tells us that we are to gaze upon Jesus with unveiled face. And it is Jesus' own face that is the thing that is unveiled. Unlike Moses' face in the Old Covenant, there is nothing hidden about Jesus' face as the mediator of the new covenant. Moses has got to cover, but not Jesus. He does not need to veil. Jesus, he fully manifested himself to us. Remember, going back to verse 3 to 6, or rather in 2 Corinthians 4, 3 to 6, Paul talked about the great plainness and of the other apostles who proclaimed the gospel. He says, but even, let me just repeat, that is in 2 Corinthians 4, 3 to 6. And he says, but even if our gospel is veiled, covered, it is veiled to those who are perishing, whose mind the gods of this age has blinded, who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine upon them. We do not preach ourselves, the Apostle Paul says, but Jesus Christ the Lord, and ourselves your bond servants for Jesus' sake. For it is the God who commanded light to shine out of darkness, who had shone in our light to give light to the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. What it simply here says is this: without the power of God and without Jesus shining upon us, all of us will still be blinded. We will never be able to see unless God in His grace open our eyes. So, it is not our faces that Paul is speaking about. It is rather the face of the Savior, our Savior, Jesus Christ. He is in the brightness of the Father's glory and expressed image of His Son. And that is what is found in Hebrews 1, verse 3. And we have to gaze upon Him. We have to gaze upon Him. And that means that there is nothing that hinder us from knowing God the Father. Indeed, there's nothing. There should be nothing that will hinder us from knowing God the Father. Through who? Jesus Christ. His face, unlike the face of Moses, is completely unveiled once and for all. Without Jesus, we will not be able to see the glory of God. Without Jesus, we will still be blinded. And God has provided, in His provision, God has provided His Son for us. That's P. Then notice A, action. Our Lord's face, the face that revealed the Father fully to us, is completely unveiled, and we are to respond by beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord. And here says, as a glass or as a mirror, the glory of the Lord. Question: how do we behold His glory? Obviously, it is not with our physical eyes. You know, as a Reformed church, you will observe very clearly that we do not have any pictures of or images of the face of Jesus. And I hope that no one will ever suggest, let us have the face of Jesus. No. Because we don't know how Jesus looks like. And it is wrong. It is wrong to have the images of Him when we don't know how He looks like. And if that is so, perhaps you might be asking, then how? How do we behold His glory? You know, people talk about, wow, I saw a face of Jesus. Wow. Are you sure it's the face of Jesus and not somebody else? I've got no time to elaborate on in this particular point. But the point I want to make known to us is that how do we behold the glory of Jesus? The answer is simple. It is through the Holy Scriptures. It is through God's Word that is preserved for us and illuminated to us by the Holy Spirit. To put it in a practical way, I remember giving the Bible to an intellectual man, a fellow in education. Has got no problem at all reading and understanding the Bible. And after that, he came back to me. He says, I understand what the Bible says, but I don't believe. Why? Because if there's no illumination of God the Spirit opening his eyes to see Christ, he will never be able to see, even though intellectually he's able to comprehend the content of the Bible, the Scriptures. In fact, Jesus has painted for us many images about who He is, which we should have in our minds and in our hearts. And not, you know, I trust that none of us have a picture of Jesus in our Bible. If you have, please throw it away. Okay? Don't try to pray to Jesus and with that image, you know, opening up, No, we should not do that. In fact, as I mentioned, Jesus has many images painted for us that whereby we can draw lessons about who He is. Remember, Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. So visualize Jesus as a shepherd, a good shepherd. Jesus says, I am the light of the world. He is indeed the light, shining. I am the bread of life. I am the door of the sheep. I'm the resurrection and the life. I'm the true vine. And this is indeed Jesus, the Jesus whom we believe according to the Holy Scriptures. And Jesus has united himself to those of us who believe in him. And he has permanently taken residence in us through the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Jesus is indeed very close to us. He has taken residence in our life when we believe in Him and when we say we want to follow Him and when we say that we want Him to be our Redeemer and our Savior. So when we look at the mirror, when we look at the glass, that means when we look at the Bible, when we look at the Holy Scriptures, we see the indwelling place of Jesus Christ looking back at us in reflection. In other words, when we read the Bible, it is a reflection of who Jesus is. And when we read the Bible, we also be able to see ourselves, who we are in His sight. Yes, we are to behold Him. We find our true self by gazing upon Him and His glory. P, A, another P, the process. Paul says that the unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, and we are all being transformed. The all here that he's speaking isn't about all the people of this world, no. But rather it is all, that is all those whom God has predestinated, all those who believe and trust in Jesus, and all those who are true to the, who are called by the new covenant people, people who place their trust and faith in Jesus alone. And that is whom Jesus will dwell in. Are you being transformed, my dear friends, by the power of God through Jesus Christ? Are you transformed by Jesus? Some of us, the transformation is quick and dramatic. For others, the transformation, or what we call sanctification, it is slow and gradual. But all of us in whom Christ dwells, are progressively being transformed to the goal where we'll be more like Christ. So transformation, remember, it is an ongoing process. It's a continual action. And we are all in the process of being transformed day by day. So by God's grace, we are not, or rather by God's grace, we should not be who we are. But by God's grace, we should be better tomorrow, the next month, the next year. And that is what we should be. But question is, are we fixing our eyes upon Jesus? Are we reading the Bible? If you're not reading the Bible, or for that matter, if you cannot read the Bible, you must be hearing the scriptures. I know that some elderly folks, they can't read because their eyesight is poor, but they can still have ears to hear God's word. Yes. Are you receiving the word of God, whether it be reading or through hearing? And not only that, and are you applying what we have learned in our lives, or are we still living the same old life? And if there's no change, then, my dear friends, you have to seriously ask yourself a question. Am I really safe? Do I really have Jesus in my life? Last but not least, let's consider the goal. We are becoming more like Christ, and that means our goal is continue to grow in Christ. To grow in Christ. And remember Christ's priestly prayer in John 17, where he talks about, in his prayer, he talks about that they may be perfect in one, and that the world may know that you have sent me, and that they have loved them, and just as you have loved me. So what even Jesus Christ in his high priestly prayer in John chapter 17, he talks about praying for us, who are his people, that we might be perfected, and that we might shine forth as light, just as he is the light of the world. And this is, my dear friends, this is where we should be heading. We are to keep our gaze upon Jesus as destined, in that we are destined to, so that the work of the Holy Spirit will continue and to be completed, to be transformed into His glory, from His glory, from glory. That is His glory, which is the source to glory, which is as a result. So we need to continue to draw strength. I must quickly close now. My time is running up. Okay, the practical question is this. What kind of transformation should we see in our lives? See, one of our favorite description of Christ is that He loved righteousness and He hated wickedness. Jesus did not just act righteously. He loved righteousness, and that is what we must do. And in his humanity, he loved equity, fairness, justice, upright dealings with others, and that is what we must do. And in the same way, he hated wickedness. Jesus hated sin as sin, and that is what we must do. But you know, my dear friends, we hate the consequences of sin rather than we hate sin. So my prayer is always, oh Lord, please help me so that I hate sin as sin and not the consequences of sin. And we need that kind of a transformation in our lives. And Jerry Bridges also look at John 6:38 that says, to be like Jesus is not just to stop committing a few obvious sins like lying, cheating, gossip, thinking pure, impure thoughts. To be like Jesus, Jerry Bridges says, is to be always seeking to do the will of the Father. And it is to come to the place where we delight to do the will of God, however sacrificial or unpleasant that may seem to us at the time, simply because it is to do His will. Yes, to do His will. It may seem to be sacrificial or unpleasant. That is to speak up against sin, if there's a need to do so. Well, that is what we are taught in the scriptures. And that's how we should follow Jesus. And let me quickly just sum up by saying, there's nothing that motivates us to deal with sin in our lives until we understand how to apply it. So what are the three important truths? The three important truths for us to take note is that we are all but sinners. One. Two, our sins are forgiven. Three, the dominion of sin is broken because of our union with Christ. And that is what we must bear in mind as we seek the transforming grace of Jesus in our lives. One of my favorite books is of Jerry Bridges is Respectable Sins. And in his book, he talks about the many so-called respectable sins that we tolerate in our lives. And that includes pride, selfishness, anger, envy, jealousy, and so forth. And he reminded us to preach the gospel to ourselves. Why? Because we need Jesus. We do sin against Jesus every day in word, in thought, and in deed. And therefore, we need to continue to preach the gospel to ourselves to know that we need Jesus to forgive us, to know Jesus, that we need Jesus to not only forgive, but to cleanse us and Jesus to empower us so that we will be able to live a righteous life. Some practical ways for us to consider is this, to ask ourselves, how can we know whether we are being transformed more and more into the likeness of Christ? How do we know? Recently, I preached to the Senior Adult Fellowship, the Sixth Domain, the Senior, S-E-N-I-O-R. Okay, very quickly, just to remind all the senior adults who attended my talk, spiritual walk. Are you walking closer to God in total dependence upon Him? Are there any transformation in your relationship with God? E, emotional well-being. How are you dealing with your emotions of all those negative emotions of anger, impatience, selfishness? Are there any transformation? How about nutritional health? This is not a topic that many people like to talk about. But the Bible talks about do not be a glutton. You know, gluttony is a sin. How are you dealing with your body? Okay, how are you? Have you control over your life? You know, is there any transformation at all? Because your body belongs to the temple of the Holy Spirit. Then interpersonal relationship. How are you relating to your wife, your husband, your children? And outreach. How are you reaching out to others? For Christ, to care for the poor just like Jesus. And then, how are you caring for God's creation? Remember how Jesus, He was walking, He increased in wisdom, in stature, and in favor with God and men. And that is what transformation is about, that we increase in wisdom of God's word and in body to be strong physically and in favor with God and with men. I think my time is up. And may God grant us His grace to live a life that will please Him and following the example of Jesus. Let's pray. Gracious God, grant us Your grace. Grant us Your power that we might be able to live transformed lives for Your glory and for Your honor. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.